time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, it is hump day.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. My co-host is Paul Gallant. I'm at Sports Vanessa on Twitter. He is at Gallant Says. Tweet us. Don't bully us, though. Be nice. Be nice.
Unless it's funny.
Unless it's funny, then bully the hell out of us. You can watch us on Twitch. Hey, stream us on the ESPN app or, of course, hear us on 97.5 and 92.5.
And you can text in sexual innuendo to 713-780-3776.
And I will not read it on air because I learned my lesson on that yesterday.
You say that now, but sometimes it just happens in the moment. There's a text. You read it. You don't know.
It comes back to not really having a filter. I need to have a little bit more of a filter.
No, this is why radio is great, Vanessa. This is why you're going to love radio compared to TV. You don't have to have as much of a filter. This stuff happens, and you don't have to be technically sound all the time.
That's true.
We're all having fun together. We're all hanging out together.
But if we are talking about eating today, we are talking about eating food.
Okay.
And with that, we move to Carlos Correa, who made his debut in a Twins uniform a couple days ago on social media. We saw the pictures. We saw the pain that people experienced.
He's eating a bunch of new money. Am I right?
Yeah. And Carlos Correa, listen, a lot of Astros fans had some kind of questions about how this process went down. Our John Granato had reported and tweeted that the Astros basically quit trying and ghosted, quote-unquote ghosted, I think is the term that John used. Marley Rivera of ESPN does a great job covering the MLB. Just tweeted, Carlos Correa tells me he has, quote, nothing but love for Houston and Astros front office and ownership, but also said the club did not make him any offers after the lockout. So there it is.
That's stunning. And there are two sides to every story. And perhaps the Astros would say otherwise if you were to ask James Click or Jim Crane. But when I read that tweet that John put out, I was under the impression that they stopped talking to Correa over the course of the last week or something like that. To not talk to Correa for 100 days while there was radio silence, and then to potentially not listen to Correa, who I would guess reached back out to the Astros when the Twins made him this offer, is a massive failure on the part of the Astros. You can't frame it any other way. Oh, it doesn't make a lot of sense to sign a guy for just 1 year. Yes, it does. It makes so much sense to sign a guy for 1 year when you are where the Astros are. Cool. Jeremy Peña at shortstop. Let's see how that goes. I'm bummed out hearing this, Vanessa. I would be more understanding if it was just a one-week thing. But the lockout lasted, what, 100 days?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 100-plus days where there was no offer on the table by the Astros for Correa when there clearly wasn't that big of a market for Correa if it took him this long to sign. Obviously, yeah, the lockout, you know, was an obstacle for a while, but he was not the first person to sign on the dotted line when that thing was signed.
I would love to hear James Click's thoughts on this, and my hope is that the Astros will have media availability at some point today or tomorrow, and that, you know, the boots on the ground, whether that's, you know, Brian McTaggart, Mark Berman, Randy McAvoy, somebody can get that sound of the answer because you know somebody's right. Going to ask it. And here's the thing. At some point, it's not going to matter. Truly. At some point, like, he's going to make his debut in a Twins uniform, all of that. But I do think Astros fans want to know what was the conversation.
And it shouldn't be on the players to answer. We've heard from the players. It shouldn't be on Dusty Baker to answer. We've heard from Dusty Baker. The people that make these decisions are the guys at the top. And when you've been to 5 straight American League Championship Series, you need to have a damn good reason to justify not bringing this guy back because you are worse at shortstop in the short term. You are probably worse at shortstop in the long term. Very, very, very likely worse at shortstop in the long term. And I just can't believe that it was something that was going on for months. Hundreds of days. I never bought into the idea, Vanessa, that these sides weren't having any communications with each other during a lockout, too. I know that, you know, in the NFL, you're not supposed to talk to a free agent before a certain period
of time.
Hashtag
tampering.
But there's so many ways that you can talk to somebody and get feelers out and stuff without directly talking to that person, if not just disregarding the rules entirely and talking to the person anyway. Man, that they didn't talked to him throughout the entirety of the lockout, that they didn't even make another offer to him after the lockout ended. I can't understand why, especially when the Twins signed him for a deal that the Astros easily could have matched.
Todd, the show on our Twitch line says, James Click isn't a GM that spends money. Crane is the one who paid Verlander. Yeah, it's all technically the same money, but to your point, different methods, possibly among the front office and ownership. I know Dusty Baker is going to get asked about it. And one of my favorite things about Dusty, I love Dusty. He's a total OG. He's a way of being honest without obviously throwing ownership or the general manager under the bus. Mm-hmm. If you're the skipper, you probably want Carlos Correa. So to be in a room with Dusty Baker when he found out that Carlos Correa was not coming back, I think would have been a sight to see.
It probably would have been the same as when Deshaun Watson was with Quincy Avery and found out DeAndre Hopkins got traded, where you could play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music underneath as you zoom in slowly in on his face. That's not bad. I mean, you zoom in on Dusty Baker's face and you see, as he tries to think of something to say in that moment, that would be positive, warm, grandfatherly.
On our text line, 2336 says, is it possible Boris didn't share information to Carlos? I don't think so. I mean, I guess that's possible, but no. I mean, I think if Scott Boras has a conversation with Jim Crane about Carlos Correa, and again, I bring up David Mulugeta because David Mulugeta is now the hot NFL agent. It was Lee Steinberg. I think David Mulugeta has taken that over, especially with this last contract with Deshaun Watson. I think when David Mulugeta was having a conversations with the Haslams, he might not divulge all that information, but in layman's terms, he's telling Deshaun, hey, bullet points, here's what I just heard from the Haslams regarding you. I think it's probably similar. I think when Scott Boras would talk to Jim Crane, he would come back to Carlos Correa and say, here's the long and the short of it. Here's what they're offering versus what you want.
Well, going back to what my thought was on Monday when we first talked about this story, Vanessa, I could see it how Jim Crane just didn't want to talk to Scott Boras. I bet that Boras would want to continue conversations because Boras is a super agent and he's going to find a way to get his. Obviously, he has his own personal interest when it comes to this deal, because should the Astros have signed Correa to a long-term deal, or anyone signed Correa to a long-term deal, what would have happened was the previous agency group that Correa was with was going to get some of that money. Now, this time around, I assume that Correa opts out after this coming season. He was asked point blank about it, but I assume he opts out after this coming season, and he will end up getting a massive contract that Scott Boras gets all the money for. So, obviously, that side of things
it's a business.
Is part of these back and forths, but I think it's much more likely that Jim Crane just did not want to talk to Scott Boras, period. And I bet James Click, yes, who probably is not making the monetary decisions at the very top, he has to be greenlit by Jim Crane. I bet James Click saw this and was like, look, I mean, short term, it's not ideal for us, but it still gives us a lot of flexibility going forward. I think we should do this, Jim. And something tells me that things just got personal between Jim Crane and Scott Boras.
Yeah, possibly. And Scott Boras is certainly somebody that you don't want to be on bad terms with if you're an MLB
agent. No, you got to get over it. You got to get over it. He's the most powerful person in the sport.
He is. Carlos Correa did talk about why he chose the Twins. And we have that audio via Mark Berman of Fox 26.
It was pretty easy, honestly. You know, before this entire process of free agency, you know, once the season was over, you know, my wife asked me, like, how is it going to be if we ever leave? And I said, babe, what do we do on a daily basis when we're in the middle of the season? You know, we watch movies, we go eat to restaurants, and now we take care of the baby. Every city in the United States has that. So wherever we go, we're going to be fine. And then when we put it into perspective and she saw it like that, she's like, oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, so, you know, whatever life takes us, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to go out there, help the team win. And I got to tell you, I cannot be more excited. Minnesota is beautiful. I've been there, and when Scott told me all the Twins, I said, I'm in.
Props to him on that sell job. Hey, babe, yeah, it's going to be negative 30 for 50% of the year. We're going to be stuck inside our apartment because we can't go outside because it's going to be cold. It's nothing at all like Houston, where your weather is mild in the winter. No, he's just like, hey, babe, I mean, we're inside all the time anyway, as it is. You're going to be inside a lot now, Carlos. And I do wonder how Daniela is going to feel about it.
Yeah, I think where athletes play, and this has been a personal opinion I've had for a while, is way overblown. And I say that because everybody, like, these athletes all have second maybe even third homes.
True.
Like, Carlos Correa and Daniela are probably going to keep some sort of home, condo, River Oaks apartment in Houston because they're, remember, the godparents for Lance McCullers Jr.'s child, and they have so many friends here. And then, you know, like we kept hearing with Deshaun Watson, climate. He doesn't want to play in Cleveland. That one was a little more believable because of the weather. But again, still, like, these guys don't spend their offseason.
Fair point.
Like, Peyton Manning wasn't hiking in Denver in the offseason.
Fair point. Baseball's offseason, that would have been pretty funny if he's just going full Aaron Rodgers and, you know, doing enemas out in the wilderness or something like that. But I think in this situation, you're right because, yeah, baseball season, it's done by November. So he's probably going to go somewhere a little bit more mild afterwards, and they'll be fine. Still, though, I mean, the first month of the year, the second month of the year, it's not great. It is not fun. And it's not a great place to get off to a hot start, literally.
I want Carlos Correa to wear a lot of prints and a lot of purple now that he is in, he's going to be in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is his new home. And speaking of homes, if you own yours, you need to listen to me. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver big savings. How do you like that transition? You don't need to talk to an annoying agent either. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle, but it doesn't have to be thanks to TGS Insurance. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using a single text message. You're probably going to save a bunch of cash. So take your phone, text the word money to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. Send that back, and you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. So, listen, no one likes to shop for it, but TGS makes it easiest, and you're only a text away from massive savings. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we got some potential breaking news in the NFL. You never know if these types of tweets are for leverage from agents, etc. But when both Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter are tweeting about it, it means it's probably going to happen. So, per Ian Rapoport, possibly another blockbuster trade coming. Despite an offer from the Chiefs that would make superstar Tyreek Hill one of the highest paid receivers, extension talks have stalled. And Kansas City has now given Hill's agent permission to seek a trade. Adam Schefter reporting that the Jets and Dolphins are in serious talks to trade for Tyreek Hill. Hill and Chiefs are mulling what to do, but Hill's time in KC looks like it could be coming to an end. Here's what makes me think that this may not actually be just a leverage thing for his agents, is that there are specific teams involved, and it seems like things are definitely heating up. So, yeah, that would be a blockbuster for sure.
It would change everything for Kansas City.
In fact, I mean, if you're Patrick Mahomes, what are you?
I'm mad. I'm mad if I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'd be mad if I'm... Look, say what you want about Tyreek Hill off the field. There's plenty to say about Tyreek Hill off the field, but there are a few players that I enjoy watching on a football field more than Tyreek Hill. His speed is second to none. I actually remember the first game that he ever played. It was against the Houston Texans. It was the season opener. I forget what season. Maybe it was 2015. And he had a punt return for a touchdown that was called back. And I remember going into the locker room afterwards and asking Charles James. And I asked him, is that the fastest guy you've ever seen? Because I remember seeing it and I was like, whoa, that guy is on another level. And James' eyes lit up. And he's like, dude, yeah, that was something else. And they were very thankful that, of course, the kick return got called back on a holding or something like that. He is the perfect complement to Patrick Mahomes. When you have a guy who can extend plays like that, and you have this quick little bunny who also can just run in a straight line faster than everybody, he is always open. If you get rid of this, and you're the Chiefs, and you're trying to get away from Mahomes falling into his addiction to big plays and stuff, okay, I mean, I guess this helps Patrick Mahomes be less addicted to going for the home run, which was probably a problem for the Chiefs in the second half of the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. But this is a dumb move by Kansas City. This is a guy that I feel like until he starts showing signs of decline, Vanessa, from his speed perspective, his quickness, this is a guy that you pay him whatever he wants.
And I guess Kansas City's not willing to do it. So good luck with Juju Smith-Schuster as your number one wide receiver.
If you're Patrick Mahomes and you're seeing this and you're finding this out, I'm guessing that Patrick Mahomes thought it was almost a sure thing. Hey, this team gave me like, what, a 10-year contract on top of 2 years? Like a 12-year total, almost $500 million. Granted, not as much guaranteed money. So clearly they're invested in making us that quote-unquote dynasty. But you're going to trade away my number one?
Yeah. I mean, we saw it already this offseason, so it's not like this doesn't happen. I mean, obviously, Devontae Adams, the Las Vegas Raiders, they traded for him. I can see the Dolphins and Jets getting involved in this, and clearly whatever quarterback is under center for either of those two teams is going to be extremely excited. I think Zach Wilson in particular, because Zach Wilson is not exactly Mahomes, but the way that he plays is one of those, I'm trying to roll out and make some crazy plays.
And,
right, exactly. So I feel like the Jets, if the Jets are in the conversation, the Jets should back up the draft pick truck and give the Chiefs as much as they can. But if I'm Kansas City, I am coming back to the table. I'm like, we're sorry. We're sorry. Look, I mean, I kind of get why Hill is making this push. Again, the off-the-field stuff, it's
disgusting.
Yeah, it's
terrible, obviously.
But yes. It's one of the reasons that he's not paid on a level that he thinks he is, because there have been discounts that he has taken in the past that the Chiefs have been able to take advantage of, obviously drafting him where they did too. So I can kind of get why Hill might be a little bit miffed by the fact that Kansas City is maybe not giving him exactly what he wants. I think Kansas City should give him exactly what he wants.
Jason OTC, who's an NFL salary cap and contract expert of Over the Cap, tweeted, for what it's worth, a week or so ago, the Chiefs and Hill reworked his contract to avoid his option. I had assumed it was because they were working on a new deal, but I guess it may be because they are considering a trade.
Oof.
Yeah, if you're the Bengals, you love this. If you're, you know, if you're somebody that, if you're a team that is, you know, if you're a team in the AFC that has the Bills, I mean, you're,
oh, if you're the Bills, you're rejoicing
right now.
You know, I always think it's a little messed up, Vanessa, but I'm not going to act like I've never felt this way before.
Right.
You know, you don't want people to get injured, but, you know, say I saw someone, Vanessa, on the Indianapolis Colts going into the 03 or 04 playoffs with the Patriots. I would be like, okay, Marvin Harrison's hurt? Reggie Wayne's hurt? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, but I really thinking to myself,
look,
thank God.
There's,
you know,
the football perspective and the human. As a human, you don't want anybody getting hurt.
But
yeah, but
as
you
a
know,
fan, I'm taking every single loss that team gets, and I'm saying that's good for me. I hope the guy's okay. It's good for me. If you're the Bills, you are celebrating right now. This is massive. This,
if you're any AFC team that you think is going to have to face the Chiefs to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, the whole AFC
the
West.
The entire AFC West, and really the entire AFC.
No one can guard him. He is faster than literally everybody, at
least
now.
They call him the Cheetah.
Yes, and I don't blame him for having that as his nickname, I think, on Twitter. His Twitter handle used to be, I'm faster than you. I don't know if it's still, I'm faster than you, which I thought was just amazing. I didn't, he is one of the fastest people, and I don't get this. I mean, this to me is Kansas City all of a sudden now drifting very far back to the rest of the pack, and it's no guarantee that they'll be back in the AFC Championship game this coming season. I mean, I know they've been making it a lot, but...
Ian Rappaport tweeting, what would Kansas City receive? A first-round pick and more, massive haul, and Tyreek Hill would receive a fat new contract extension. Okay, I mean... But we've seen guys bust in the draft.
Yeah.
So that's great. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're thinking, oh, I can get this young guy that may be pretty good, or I can have Tyreek freaking Hill?
No. No. If I'm Mahomes, I would walk into the office right now and say, look, Deshaun Watson's making more guaranteed money than me, and you're doing this too?
Yep.
Took a discount with the years at the back of this contract entirely so that we would have flexibility going forward. And maybe he didn't. Maybe he just saw the contract and he was like, yeah, woohoo. Maybe Lee Steinberg kind of fell asleep at the wheel.
Patrick Mahomes, the move is to get David Mulugeta. I think Lee Steinberg, listen, all the respect in the world for what he's done, but the deal
Jerry
that
McGuire,
he got,
great movie.
Patrick, yeah, but the deal he got Patrick Mahomes compared to what David Mulugeta is getting his clients.
I mean, if Mulugeta can get Deshaun Watson $230 million, what can't he do? And I hate to be another ball washer of David Mulugeta, because there's plenty of that going on over the last couple
days.
Well, but
you got to give credit where it's due.
I know you do. I just don't. I hate agents. I don't know. I feel like they're just going to do whatever they possibly can to get theirs for their client. But, I mean, shoot.
Had this conversation actually about broadcasting agents with friends. It's like total, like, car salesman in a lot of cases.
I've never had.
Which is why I'm on the hunt for a new one. If you're an agent, text the line and tell me why you should rep me. 713-780-3776.
Hey, I'll rep you.
I hate it here. All right. So that is the latest. Possibly another blockbuster trade. Damn. Coming, Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, maybe out in Kansas City, and it looks like he could be, according to Adam Schefter, eyeing the Jets and the Dolphins.
To shift back to Correa really quickly, we did get a couple of interesting texts on Carlos Correa. Jordan says, this is very important. It shows gross negligence in not talking to Correa after this deal is on the table for Minnesota. It comes across as rigid, cheap, and petty. Yeah, it does. I mean, the Astros, Jim Crane specifically said that they were going to get back to Correa with an offer, and clearly that didn't happen.
I want to hear from Jim Crane. I am team owners should talk more. Not everybody is on that team. I am on team owners should talk more. Mark Cuban from the Mavericks, Stephen Cohen from the Mets, even if it's on Twitter, I want to hear straight from the horse's mouth from the owner that at the end of the day has the final say. I would love to hear from Cal McNair. And I would love to hear from Jim Crane on just kind of the thought process and what his story of communication was throughout all of this. Because I think a lot of Astros fans are interested in, when did that communication stop? We kept hearing that it was going to happen, possibly. We kept hearing that there was back and forth. When did it get to the point to where the Astros said, we're going to roll with Jeremy Pena?
Yeah. When did they all of a sudden just say, eh?
We need a Dateline investigation on it. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. We are talking about the pro day, Buzz. Does it matter? Does it not matter?
God.
That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we're rolling along on a Wednesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. We are appropriately named Vanessa and Gallant. And we love when you Twitch us, tweet us, call us, do all of the things to us, and let us know how we're doing. All right, Pro Day Buzz. So some people believe in it. Some people don't. Yesterday was Malik Willis's Pro Day. There was also Texas A&M Pro Day, which we know Nick Caserio is at. So much ado about nothing, or does it matter? Malik Willis, by all accounts, had a quote-unquote good pro day.
It was the greatest pro day of all time, which, Vanessa, we have heard every bleeping offseason for the longest time. I'm not going to make a ruling on whether or not he's going to be a good pro. And he did make an incredible throw while running to his left that was like 60, 70 yards downfield. It was a hell of a throw. He seemed to be having fun out there. I could understand how someone might get caught up if you were watching the pro day in all of the hype. But can, for the love of God, we calm down with getting excited about guys running around in shorts, not facing any pass rush at a pro day? Can we stop? Does anyone remember the time where Johnny Manziel had his pro day and everyone was like, whoa, Johnny Manziel's getting smacked in the face by a guy holding a broom. Oh, my God. He's going to be the greatest quarterback ever. And I know there's a lot of y'all ags out there. And then he fell flat on his face in the NFL. He didn't do a damn thing. I would just like people to keep it in their damn
pants. Be measured.
Thank you.
You know who else would? Marlon Humphrey, cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens. It's a interesting tweets about Pro Day. He started out by, if I can find the tweet here. Good job of delivering this, Vanessa. Hey-o. Marlon Humphrey says, do quarterbacks ever have a bad Pro Day or Combine? I don't know why we act like it's amazing every year that they can throw a football. He then went on to tweet something else. They're going to do that play action. Scramble to the left, scramble to the right, then throw on the run. And here goes the announcers. I've never seen that done before. Did you see that arm strength? Wow.
He's not wearing shoulder pads. He's not wearing a helmet. There's no one chasing him. There's no pocket that he has to stay in. There's no wide receiver whose timing he has to get right. For all we know, he wouldn't have even escaped that fake pass rush where he made that throw downfield. So, and people were doing this with Zach Wilson last year as well. Look, there are many reasons to get excited or to be turned off by a quarterback prospect coming into the draft. I know Lance Erline can tell you way more about it than I possibly can. The Bench, John and Lance, every morning, 7 to 10 right here. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Good plug.
But calm your boobies. Shut up with this, hey,
the Texans need to take Malik Willis. Now, maybe you have other reasons for feeling that way, but let's not forget that until basically this week, we were looking at this quarterback draft class as one of the worst in recent memory. Now, all of a sudden, that is the thing that changes your mind?
Here's the thing, though. I think that if you're in the position of Malik Willis, where you know that it's not a good quarterback draft class, you see this quarterback carousel happening, and you realize that it's a game of musical chairs, and somebody's going to get left out of musical chairs, and that you could potentially land with a, you know, a team like the Steelers, like the Titans, who are at your pro day, or Panthers. For him, I think he only has something to gain because he's already the best one in that draft class.
You are right on that front. I mean, he will gain from this. I would just want to tell people this should not be what changes your opinion of him. You might have a great meeting with him, conversation with him, but seeing him in person doing what he was doing, which is akin to if I were playing football in my very backyard when I was 8 years old, running against air. It is the same thing as far as what it actually matters and how it determines whether or not a guy's going to be able to make it happen in the NFL. He made some great throws. Great. I mean, I've seen five football players make great throws. At least they had guys chasing after them and receivers that were being covered downfield. This was a guy who made a great throw rolling to his left, 70 yards downfield. He's got great arm strength. He clearly has mobility. There's a lot to be, you know, amped about as far as the excitement possibilities with him, but this should not make you feel some type of way about any quarterback. Kenny Pickett on Monday at Pitch Pro Day, Matt Corral today for Ole Miss. Those are the consensus top three quarterbacks in this year's draft class. Do not let this day change your mind. That's all I want you to know.
You pointed out Matt Rhule and Mike Tomlin were the only coaches in attendance, and that Malik Willis had had dinner with Tomlin. And I'm glad you brought that to my attention. To me, this shows what I think we already knew, which was Mitch Trubisky is their emergency one-year plan.
Yeah.
They're still very, very much in the hunt, very much searching, and that could be a team. I mean, if Mike Tomlin feels that Malik Willis has a possible upside and some potential that he sees from these pro days. And you know, the Steelers are like a culture, like a really healthy culture. Ask any owner, GM, the Steelers, with three coaches in like 54 years. So he's going to do his due diligence, but that could be a landing spot for Malik Willis.
Everything changes draft day. And for all we know, and I saw this mocked by Danny Kelly, who I think does a really good job putting together mock drafts for The Ringer. He had in his latest mock draft, and again, it's a mock draft. Don't put too much stock into it. Unless it's Lance's.
Unless it's Lance's.
Yeah.
Hey.
Number two, he had the Lions taking Malik Willis. And they don't have a quarterback right now. So if he's off the board at two, okay, this changes what you're going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the trades are going to happen actually on draft day if the Texans make any. But when you're picking at 3 and 13, you have opportunities, and you need to start the groundwork of, hey, here are our contingency plans with those teams. You should be having conversations because, look, the Panthers picking at 6th, if you're the Texans in that third spot and you want to trade out of that third spot, that is the team to call. They have been at every single quarterback pro day. They were at Kenny Pickett's. They were at Malik Willis's. They had everyone there for Malik Willis. So that is a team that you want to know, hey, what are you thinking? But as you get a little bit further down, okay, I don't know if the Giants are going to be into a quarterback. I think they should be. They picked 5th and 7th. You tell the Panthers, hey, at 3rd, there is no possibility of a team trading up in front of you and going and jumping to get Malik Willis ahead of you. Then you have that 13th pick. And when you're picking at 13, Vanessa, the Steelers are picking at 20th. I think that the Steelers might think about trading up for Malik Willis, say he falls out of the top 10. And if he falls past the Washington Commanders in particular, who are picking at number 11, and I think the Commanders might be interested because the Commanders have also been at some of these pro days too.
That's true.
But if Willis
falls... See, I think they roll with Carson Wentz as QB1. Do you?
They're stupid if they do. I mean, come on.
Nobody agrees more than me.
Well, you're thrilled.
I just feel like they took a big leap with him and, you know, took on that contract. They made the worst
move.
With it.
They made the worst move this offseason at quarterback. Like, there's no denying it. I used to like Carson Wentz, but come on. I don't even know that Carson Wentz beats out Taylor Heineke as starting quarterback. Like, they might say that right now that that's going to happen, but let's see what this guy is in the locker room. I think there's definitely a contingency of people in the Washington locker room that
like Taylor Heinicke and are probably going to be a little bit resistant to the idea of Carson Wentz given the way the last two seasons and his last two stops have gone.
The Texans do not trade up that pick, and Malik Willis is still there at three. Do they take a chance?
I don't think they will. I know that some people are going to think that they should, and I think a lot of people just look at Davis Mills and they're underwhelmed. And by the way, I don't blame them. I do think that you should do your due diligence on Malik Willis. Maybe you already have your evaluation of Willis. And you know what? Good for you. That means that you're not going to be affected by a pro day or a guy running around in his shorts. Ooh, look at him shirtless at the pro day. Look at his legs. Oh, his quads are just busting at the seams. You know, you're not doing that at the very least, but you should be doing your homework here. And if you feel like this guy is going to be a good player and he's available to you at third overall and you think he might be a plus quarterback, you should be thinking about it. But it does not feel like the Texans are going to do that. They have been so high on Davis Mills. And I don't see what the point of, Vanessa, them being publicly high about Davis Mills is other than to make sure that he's confident going into the year. All of a sudden, you pull the carpet out from underneath him. Maybe you completely destroy his confidence if you were to draft someone like Malik Willis. So, you know, they might have destroyed some of the leverage that they have as far as what they might do at that third pick. But it does feel like they're not going at quarterback.
Meanwhile, Kenny Pickett, the hand size has increased.
Oh, yeah, it did. Did you see on the sideline where Scott Fitterer and Ben McAdoo, the Panthers offensive coordinator, Fitterer is the Panthers general manager, and Matt Rhule were all on the side, and they basically had him go up, and they were like, hey, can we see your hand? And you don't hear them talking about it.
I mean, please remember, we have to remember that this was the narrative with Joe Burrow, too, to the point to where he tweeted at the Combine, guess I'll retire, send thoughts and prayers, my hands are too small, something like that. Like, I get the concern with hand size, and I think he has weird thumbs. That may be the rub more than the weird hand size.
I would have more of a concern, say, Kenny Pickett were to have fumbling issues at Pitt. And by the way, he did. So
right, totally.
So the hand size is, I guess, this is why it's happening. But I'm more looking at that and thinking to myself, well, Daniel Jones with the Giants, he fumbles a lot. He can't hold on to the football. I don't know that Daniel Jones has little tiny hands, pixie hands or whatever you want to call them. I don't think that that's his problem. So it's funny that this is such a factor with Pickett. Pickett is someone too. If Willis is off the board and Pittsburgh's still on the clock, Pittsburgh is definitely doing their due diligence on him. He's the hometown kid, and they have sent people out to his pro day as well.
Meanwhile, Matt Corral from Ole Miss, pro day is today.
Yes. Look, I'll be honest.
He's probably the third quarterback. I mean, out of the three, it's a hard three.
I would say as far as the buzz around Corral, who had the high ankle sprain at the end of last year, it's not the same as it's been with Pickett, and it's certainly not the same as it's been with Malik Willis. Because right now, everyone is falling in love with Malik Willis at this point in time. So, but maybe Corral has a ridiculous pro day today. Maybe Corral comes out wearing like the Borat unitard thong or something like that, and everyone's like, "Whoa, his quads, his derriere, his gluteus maximus!" Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I just hope it doesn't happen where he gets hype out of the bleeping pro day.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have some possible NFL news that would be huge if it happens, and we're going to talk about now that the first wave of free agency is over. What are your top five NFL power rankings? Assuming everybody stays healthy, I would like to know. Tweet us, Twitch us, call us, and let us know your top five NFL power rankings should everybody stay healthy. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, we're rolling along on a Wednesday, and we do have some breaking NFL news. Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport both tweeting this, so you know that it is possibly real. Per Ian Rappaport, possibly another blockbuster trade coming. Despite an offer from the Chiefs that would make superstar Tyreek Hill one of the highest paid receivers, extension talks have stalled, and the Chiefs have now given Hill's representation and his agents the ability to seek a trade. Adam Schefter clarifying it a little bit further, saying the Jets and the Dolphins are in serious talks to trade for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. There would apparently be a quote-unquote massive haul, some first-rounders, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, your fastest receiver, your best receiver, your number one guy, probably not too happy that he is possibly, it looks like, exiting the Chiefs. There's some possibilities here, Paul, that this is for leverage, that this is for money.
100%.
Because it's all a game. But when I saw Schefter tweet or one of the guys tweet that it was possible that the Chiefs had like granted permission for the trade, that's when I'm thinking, okay, it's possibly real.
Yeah, and if it happens, I just think it really changes what Kansas City is. I don't look at them as some sort of fearsome monster. I don't feel like I'm staying up all night long the same way I would have been before. Mahomes, this is his perfect complement. Yes, he'll still have Travis Kelce. He'll have Juju Smith-Schuster. Smith-Schuster is a good player. But when you have Tyreek Hill, who you can throw those little cheap passes to the side and get an easy 4 to 5 yards every bleeping time, when you can extend a play, run around for your life, and find Hill open by 30 yards somewhere on the field, there are so many possibilities that a defense has to account for every single play because of Tyreek Hill's mere existence. And if he's not there, you are all of a sudden unlocking two defenders. Are you going to have two guys that need to cover Juju Smith-Schuster? Probably not. Are you going to do that with Travis Kelce? Well, now you could potentially take Travis Kelce entirely out of the game, who has clearly been Mahomes' safety blanket over the last couple of years. He throws to Kelce more than anybody. So I am just confused by this decision. What is the point of Mahomes having a relatively team-friendly deal as a quarterback that is extended so far into
like
the future?
Like 12 years.
Right. If you're going to be unwilling to keep one of the most important pieces on your team, I think that this changes the way that you should be perceived as far as in the AFC and in power rankings.
Hey!
Vanessa?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about this because we're kind of through that first wave of free agency. The quarterback musical chairs have fallen. Yes, there are still questions about where Jimmy Garoppolo will go. Baker Mayfield, will he find a team? And then certainly we have teams that are looking at Malik Willis in the draft. But with the first wave of free agency over, what are your NFL power rankings? Now, this is assuming that everybody stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And that the rosters are what they are right now.
And it's going into the year, too. So you maybe are hyping a team up based off of offseason acquisitions, even though generally that does not make a team that much better.
It is
better.
Caked in recency bias.
Correct.
I have the Bills at number one. I love the addition of Von Miller. I love, I think Josh Allen, like we've talked about, is trending upward. I think the potential that he's shown, you know, when the Texans beat them, if you remember a couple years ago in the playoffs, I just think that he's trending upward. I think that that's a strong culture, and I think the Bills right now are my favorite. Number two, no surprise here, the Rams. Yes, Andrew Whitworth retired. Obviously, Von Miller on the move, but Matthew Stafford looked great. Cooper Kupp, what can you say about Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
Seems
like they're going to keep everyone together. I am in agreement with you on both of these.
Number one and two.
Number one and
there
two.
There you go.
So I would say
Bills won, Rams two.
Buffalo was playing the best football of any team in the NFL and going into that game against Kansas City. And if they get the ball last, I mean, don't you feel like they would have beaten Cincinnati? They murdered New England. Like, they absolutely bodied them. They add Von Miller. They're not really losing any pieces. And in the case of the Rams, too, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. I feel like by default I have to put them up there, even though there's always something about them that just I can't quite get behind them. I think it's partly Sean McVay. I don't think he's that good of a coach, as at least compared to the expectations that are put upon him across the league. And I'm just not the biggest Matt Stafford guy. But you know what? Stafford played his ass off in the playoffs.
I am not a Matthew Stafford person either, but he is solid. And sometimes solid is better than sexy as far as all of the script, you know.
I think we have to say he's very good now.
Yeah.
I don't know that we have to say he's great, but he showed in those playoffs. It was never him that was the reason for the Rams' issues. Like, yeah, there were a couple of moments where you're like, oh, okay, well, he could have been better there. But really, I just think Sean McVay's game management, he does not deserve to make it to the Super Bowl with some of the boneheaded things he did over the course
of
the playoffs.
So my power rankings, number one, Bills, number two, Rams.
Okay.
And then at three, with this Tyreek mess possibly leaving, I have the Bengals at three.
Bengals.
Now, here's the thing with the Bengals.
Whoa.
They added three guys to that offensive line to protect Joe Burrow. That was a huge problem last year. This is a risky one for me to pick at three because there's a chance that the Bengals are a one-and-done great year and they don't experience that Super Bowl trip again. But because of the pieces that they added and that they're protecting Joe Burrow, I have them at three. I have the Chiefs at four.
Okay.
Bucks at five, and then I added the Packers in at six. I think the Bucks and Packers could at that number five spot could almost be interchangeable.
Okay.
Depending on some of the moves that happen. That is my top five slash six, and I guess if I had to pick a quote-unquote sleeper, that AFC West is going to be tough, but I am excited to see what the Raiders can do. I am. I'm excited to see if
Derek
that Carr, Adams, college, you know, fun storyline can continue, and if they can kind of make a splash.
Okay, so three, you had the Bengals.
Four, I had the Chiefs.
Four, the Chiefs.
Five, the Bucks.
Five,
and
the
then
Bucks.
I put... Maybe the Bucks and then Packers at six. My sleeper is the Raiders.
The Raiders, okay. All right. So for me, I am the same as you. One Bills, two Rams, three, it's the Bucks. Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
The name of the Tom.
Shocker.
The names of the James, Edward, Brady.
Not our Boston
Bray.
Native over here.
Well, I mean, Tom Brady is not the- Boston. Tom Brady is everywhere. Tom Brady is within all of us, Vanessa. You know, and I've lived also.
Not if you're from Indiana.
You know what's crazy, though? I also lived in Tampa Bay, so technically I can claim Tom
Wait,
Brady.
When?
I went to high school in Tampa Bay, yeah.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, wow. We're learning new things about Paul every day.
You didn't graduate high school in Boston?
No, no. My parents divorced, and I moved with my mom to Florida, and my dad and my sister stayed up in Massachusetts. It was a really healthy family dynamic. You know what? We all made it through. It all
Everything
it worked out.
Was great.
Somehow it worked out for all of us. So,
okay, so
you know
no, this is brand new information.
It definitely wasn't in the moment, probably. Okay, so I have the Bucks at three. Here's where I'm getting wacky, and part of it has to do with today. And also part of it has to do with the fact that I just don't know that Kansas City can keep this up. Four, I'm putting the Denver Broncos there.
Wow.
So the Broncos, this was a 7-6 football team before they lost their last four games. They were 7-6. You bring in a new coach, Nathaniel Hackett. You bring in Russell Wilson. You have the pieces that you do already on offense where you have Jerry Jeudy. You have Cortland Sutton. You have a good running game. You have a pretty good defense. Not a great defense, but a pretty good defense. I think that the Broncos right now, especially if the Chiefs decide to move on from Tyreek Hill, I think you can make an argument that they're the top team in the division. So this is all based off of hype, and you know what? It's also based off of the opposite of what I've been saying about Russell Wilson, but something tells me that Russ is going to be in quite the honeymoon phase when he first gets to Denver.
So your number three is the Broncos.
Four is the Broncos.
What was three?
Three is the Bucks.
Okay. Four Broncos. Five.
This is where I'm having a hard time here, because part of me should say the Packers, but they lost Devontae Adams. And the Chiefs, I feel like, are about to lose Tyreek Hill. What team do you believe is more likely to be able to survive without the other? I'm going to put the Packers at five because this Hill thing I just think is stupid. I don't know what Kansas City's doing. Like I get it.
Who's
He's
your
expensive.
Do you have a sleeper? Who's somebody that if you were to pick may like kind of come out of nowhere and all of a sudden be in the division title game?
Okay, well,
or
I,
in the conference title game.
I guess Denver technically, but since I have them at four. And I have to think of another team right now. Putting myself on the spot. No, I'm not putting Cleveland in there. No, if I was behind the glass. I don't know that the Browns are going to have Deshaun Watson for that much
I don't
this
think
year.
They're going to have him for half the season.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn a new offense. Like I think that is...
But that's an astute point by our producer, Noah, that a lot of people may look at that, you know, and say Deshaun Watson could make an impact.
I think there is a chance that, too, he comes onto the field eventually and he's like... It's
rusty.
Maybe a little bit of a rough year. He hasn't played, you know, in two seasons. I can't do the Chargers. That's crazy talk. I do like what Vegas has done this offseason, but I just can't for the life of me buy into Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels. I have some questions about, you know, I just like this team. And I guess this is me essentially doing what you did with the Raiders. San Francisco.
Yeah.
The 49ers, I mean, they made it to the NFC Championship game. I love Kyle Shanahan as a coach. They can make it work with anybody on the ground. Deebo Samuel's my favorite player in the NFL that does not play for the New England Patriots. George Kittle is my second favorite player in the NFL that does not play for the New
He's
England
fun.
Patriots. I love those two, and I just feel like they are a really well-constructed team. I think John Lynch has done a hell of a job there. And look, okay, I don't know what to expect out of Trey Lance, but for whatever it's worth, You've heard a lot of public support, and I saw this in a piece by Mike Florio, and it's an astute point on Pro Football Talk. You've heard people advocating for Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he clearly isn't the guy. There are some limitations there, where with Baker Mayfield, you haven't heard a damn peep. In fact,
that's a good point.
In fact, you heard today, Vanessa, that that Odell Beckham Jr. could, per Mary Kay Cabot, who's the like Browns' go-to person as far as reporting on the Browns, apparently he might be open to returning to the Browns because he likes the Browns' teammates and also the fans. He just clearly did not like Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield's maturity is the reason I knew he would never go to the Colts, because like whiny diva does not work in Indianapolis, not only with the franchise but the city. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, yay, Baker's coming here with maturity issues. I mean, the quote was from Chris Mortensen was that the Browns wanted, quote, an adult in the room.
Mm.
Now, with the fact that they brought in Deshaun Watson who has issues, I think there's some problems with that quote. But nonetheless, we want to know your NFL power rankings. And let's check the text line. 4518 says, solid is better than sexy. Vanessa continues to work in the type of guy she likes. We're talking quarterbacks here. We are talking quarterbacks here, but not inaccurate.
I mean, shoot.
Solid is better than sexy.
You're probably right. I mean,
give me somebody that's nice, consistent, good communication skills, polite, fun, over somebody that looks chiseled and...
See, you're smart. I'm an idiot. It's like, are you hot? And then afterwards, like, the other things fall into place, maybe. And maybe I'll suck up some things that are terrible and just be absolutely walked all over by a significant other.
And that's what leads to Paul drunk texting me on Saturday telling me about all of his issues.
That one girl in particular, who is that person to a T, the hot chick, that's just a total B, just the worst person ever. Anyway, sorry. I had to go on a rant with somebody.
The good news is we both have issues. Yes. Coming up on Vanessa and Galat, rest in peace to a Philly cheesesteak legendary franchise here in Houston. And we also have some breaking NFL news. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.